This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight, this is the problem. I know it is for sure. This is the last time I'll speak to you this year, because we are racing quickly toward the end of 2016 and about to begin 2017. I love the new year because it's an opportunity for a new beginning. Do you like the new year? I don't go to New Year's Eve's party. I'm too old for that. I got to be in bed by 10. So some people pray the new year in. Some people play the new year in. I sleep the new year in. But I'm always excited about the new year because the new year brings new opportunities. And you know, one of the big things about New Year's is resolutions. Has anyone here ever made a New Year's resolution? And the rest of you are lying. We're going to stop now and have prayer for those of you who are lying. We've all made New Year's resolutions. And if I ask you honestly, how many of you kept them? No one would raise your hand, because we blow it, don't we? But I'm not going to talk to you about New Year's resolutions. I am going to talk to you about three things that if you will make a purposeful decision in your life about these three things as you begin a new year, and if you will discipline yourself in these three areas this year, I promise you victory. I promise you success. I promise you blessings, because these three things, and I have experienced this. I'm old, I've been young, now I'm old, and I can tell you that this works. So tonight I'm going to talk to you about three secrets to success that if you have not already activated, you need to activate in your life. And if you have, you need to intensify as we move into the new year. Here's the first one. Get to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in a more intimate way than you have ever known them before. Oh, you say, I know the Father, I know the Son, I know the Spirit. None of us knows them as well as we should and could know them. God longs to make himself real to you. The Holy Spirit desires to lead and guide and be intimately acquainted with you. So get to know God. You know, there's a wonderful scripture in Daniel 11, verse 23 in the King James Version, verse 32, isn't it? Let me look at my notes instead of the screen. I can't see that far back. Daniel 11, 32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's pretty good, isn't it? Do you want to be strong and do exploits? Then get to know God. If you study the Bible, if you read through the Bible, and I hope you will this year. Now, I want to inspire you. If I don't inspire you to do anything else, read your Bible more. We'll get to that in a minute. But the people who read the Bible, if you read the Bible through, you will see that God used ordinary people to do extraordinary things all through the Bible. How about you? Are you an ordinary person? If you're an ordinary person, raise your hand. Same people. It's amazing to me. But there were a few more that time. We're all ordinary people. But we have the potential of doing extraordinary things if we'll get to know our God. I didn't give the guys this scripture, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, there's a really interesting verse. It says, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more we get to know him, the more God releases into our life everything we need for life and to live an overcoming, successful Christian life. So get to know God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get to know God. Here's the second one. Practice prayer. Practice prayer. You say, practice prayer? What does that mean? Well, it means what it said, practice prayer. Don't just pray occasionally, but practice prayer. I thought I knew all about prayer until I came to the Ark and met Joy Clayton. I mean, I felt like I was the worst prayer in the world when I met Joy. Because Joy, I mean, that woman can pray. And she's taught us to pray. And you know what? Did you know people can inspire you? And she has inspired me in prayer. I've always prayed a lot. But she's inspired me I'm serious. I always have prayed a lot. But when I met Joy, I found out I hadn't prayed as much as I needed to pray. Because she prays more than I ever thought about praying. But I love to pray. And I know that we all say those little, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's a horrible prayer to pray. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. We teach our children that prayer. That's a horrible prayer to teach your children. Teach them the Lord's Prayer. Teach them to pray the 23rd Psalm. But don't teach them to pray, if I should die before I wake. Dear me. No, that's not the prayer I'm wanting you to pray. I am wanting you to learn to, you know, there's a wonderful scripture on prayer. It says this, rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That's what joy does. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? That is really a strange thing, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. Well, let me tell you what it means. It means stay in the place with God that at any given moment, you could burst forth into prayer. My daughter will tell you that I'm bad about bursting into song at the oddest times. Something will remind me of a song and I just start singing. I'm the same way with prayer. I just see a need and I just start praying. When someone walks up to you and says, I have a need and I would like for you to pray for me, don't say, oh, I will, because you'll forget. Now, maybe you won't forget, but I forget sometimes. So when somebody comes up to me and says, I have a need, would you pray? I pray right then. Well, what if you're in the grocery store? I pray right then. Well, what if you're in the office? I say, let's go to the restroom and I'll pray for, unless it's a guy. And I'll pray for you right now. I don't like to pray for men. I call a man to pray for a man. I like to pray for women. I pray for men too. I don't know what's come over me. Y'all pray for me now that I'll get back on track here. Pray without ceasing means stay in an attitude of prayer. Now, you know, I really pray well if I'm driving down the road and I see the blue light behind me. Help me, Jesus, favor. But you know, we should stay in that same quick attitude of prayer all during our day. And, you know, I'm going to encourage you not only to pray, but to believe God for little things. Pray for little things and believe God for little things. A lot of people in the world say, I don't want to bother God with little things. But God wants you to bother him with little things. Because if you will use your faith to believe God for little things, when the big thing comes, your faith will be big enough to handle the big thing. So pray. Pray more this year than you've ever prayed before. Pray when you get up in the morning. Pray when you get in the, well, I don't know that I have time. Pray in the car on the way to work. Pray in the bathtub. Pray while you're cooking supper, if you cook supper. Pray. Pray for people the minute they ask you to pray. When you see someone and you can just tell, the Holy Spirit just sort of stirs you up, that person needs prayer. When you get in your car, pray for them. Just pray. I think we can do that. Now listen to this promise, if you'll pray. This is the promise. The earnest, this is from the Amplified Bible. I love the Amplified Bible because it's wordy. The earnest, heartfelt prayer, continual prayer of a righteous man or woman, listen to this, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The effectual fervent. People who pray a lot, people who listen for the Lord to tell them what to pray about, people who respond to the nudging of the Holy Spirit to pray, there's an enormous amount of power that's available and begins to work through them. I don't know about you, but I want some of that. Do you want some of that? So pray. And here's the third one. By the way, let me say this because I didn't say this. You need a specific time of devotional prayer. You really do need that. And you need that to prime the pump for your continual praying without ceasing. So it may be when you get up in the morning. It may be before you go to bed at night. You need a devotional time when you pray every day. You need to discipline yourself. And it's good to discipline yourself to pray at the same time. It may be in your car while you're driving to work. That's a good time to pray. That'll keep you from shaking your fist and honking your horn. But it's a good time to pray. And I pray organized prayers. Well, you say, what is an organized prayer? I pray pretty much the same prayer every day, but I pray the word. And I pray the same scriptures over the same needs, over the same things. I've disciplined myself to do that. Why? Because the word can't return void. And if I'm praying the word will come to pass. Has it worked in your life? Oh, yes, it has. Yes, it has. So you need to pray, and you need to have a time. Let's just stop and pray now. You want to? Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Want to? I just want to pray. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, you need to pray that every day. I also pray the 23rd Psalm every day. It's just a good thing to do. Pray. Now, here's the third thing. You need to read your Bible every day. You just need to read your Bible every day. You say, what is the benefit of reading my Bible? I don't like to read my Bible. I think it's boring to read my Bible. Well, I'm going to give you a few benefits of reading your Bible. Here they go. First of all, the Bible is God's book. The Bible is God's book. It is. God inspired the Bible. He inspired men to be his ghostwriters and to write his story. But if you want to know God, you have to read his book. You'll get to know God as you read his book. You'll get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as you read his book. You'll get to know the Holy Spirit as you read his book. That's the main thing about reading the Bible, is getting to know God. Here's another benefit. As you read the Bible, you will discover the things that delight God and the things that make him sad. Sometimes we do things, not meaning to, that make God sad. But as you read the Bible, you will begin to discover what are the things that make God sad and what makes him glad. Did you know there's scriptures that talk about God dancing over us? God singing over us? I want to find out how to get God to do that. And then I want to do those things. You know, when our children were little, and sometimes when they get older, they do things that just delight us. And it makes us laugh, and it makes us sing. I want to be like that with God. How about you? Well, you're going to find out how to do that, how to be that kind of person in the Word. Here's the next one. You will learn to communicate more effectively with God through his Word. God will speak to you through people. Hopefully, he's speaking to you through me tonight. Hopefully, somebody's getting a word from God tonight as I'm speaking to you that can help them and encourage them and strengthen them. But you're not here every night. And on Sunday morning, Pastor will give you a strong word to encourage you. But that's just once a week. You have the Bible every single day. You can communicate with God by listening to his word, reading his word, looking into his word, finding out what he has to say to you from his word every single day. Why wouldn't you want to do that? If you could talk to God every day, why wouldn't you do it? I don't understand. I don't understand. Here's another one. The more you know God, the more of his love you will experience. I want God to bless me. Then get to know him. I want God to pour out his blessing on me. Then get to know him. Get in the book. Get in the book. Here's another one. I love this one. Reading the Word of God makes your faith stronger. Did you know that? Actually, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we all have faith. Every person in this room has faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Believing. Faith is simply believing. The more you read the Bible, the more ability you have to believe God, and the more miracles you will begin to see in your life. That's the truth. That's really the truth. If you want to be a person of great faith, you must be a person of the Word and a person of prayer. There's an interesting scripture in Timothy I want to share with you. It says this: study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman with no need to be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth. The Amplified in that rightly divide the word of truth says it like this: who can correctly analyze and accurately divide, handle and skillfully teach the word of truth. So we have to study to become that kind of person. We have to read the word. And what's the difference in reading the word and studying the word? Well, you can read the word and read real fast just so you can say you read the word today, and you won't retain one thing. Or you can slow down and you can read the word more slowly, and you can think about it, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and that word can begin to transform your life. So that's really the difference. We say, I thought studying meant you had to go to Bible school. Oh, heavens, no. No, you can study the Bible. You can become passionate about the Bible. You can become passionate about the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to be in full-time ministry. You don't have to have any kind of a degree. You do have to be able to read the Bible. Well, really, you don't have to be able to read the Bible. You can get the Bible on your phone and listen to the Bible. There are no excuses. Isn't this interesting that God gives us no excuses? We used to have an excuse, well, I can't read. I'd have to have somebody read it to me. No more. That excuse is gone. So now I want to give you a few rules for effective Bible study. Here's the first one. Every time you read the Bible, look for God the Father, look for God the Son, look for God the Holy Spirit. Every time you read, look for them. Remember, you're trying to get to know God. You're trying to become more intimately acquainted with him. So look for him. Sometimes he's hidden a little bit, and it's fun to discover him every time you read the Bible. Let me give you an example. In Genesis 1:1, it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to look over here. It's bigger. I can't see that back there. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now hold it there just for a minute. Don't take it down yet. Notice God, there's the Father, created the heavens and the earth. And then look, there's the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. There's the Spirit. You say, where's the Son? Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. God created with his words. And John, St. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without him. He was in the beginning, Jesus. So right there in the very first of the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? All three. Here's the second thing. This is probably one of the most important things about studying or reading the Bible. You need to develop, if you don't already have, a teachable spirit. If you think you know it all, you are in big trouble. Nobody knows it all. Nobody knows it all. In fact, some of the most ignorant people I have ever met were extremely educated people. Really, think about this. Think about men and women who have been through their professors of theology somewhere, and they do not believe in the virgin birth. Is that stupid? Y'all, that's stupid. Why is that? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I'll tell you why, because the Lord showed me why. It used to bother me. How can these people who have studied the Bible, how can they question the virgin birth? Well, because they think they know it all. They don't think there's anything more to learn. A very knowledgeable minister said to me in the early days of my ministry, never lose a teachable spirit. If you ever lose a teachable spirit, your spiritual growth will stop. So keep an open spirit to the Holy Spirit. Here's the third one. Look for simple truths. People are always looking for some complex, deep something to share so you can brag about how smart you are. But you know what? The greatest part of the Bible is simple. God made it simple so simple people could understand it. Listen to this. I think this is so powerful. Secrets are simply truths that are so simple we overlook them. God's secrets. They're simply simple truths that are so simple we overlook them. Listen to this. We often concentrate on great matters while overlooking simple matters that have the potential to make us great. That's what we do, we humans. God bless us. God help us. Consider this. A fella named Bruce Wilkinson wrote a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. Anybody here read that little book? The Prayer of Jabez. Now, Bruce was reading through his Bible, and I don't know why Bruce was reading the Begets. I read the Begets really fast. I'm not too interested in so-and-so begets, so-and-so begets, so-and-so begets, so-and-so. I can't even pronounce the names. And so I usually speed through that part pretty fast. But in 1 Chronicles 4:10, Bruce Wilkinson ran into a line about this guy, Jabez. Listen to what it says. Jabez cried to the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from evil so it might not hurt me." And God granted his request. Now, he was just reading through his Bible, ran into that, was inspired, wrote a little book, just a thin little book, sold millions of copies, and got pretty wealthy on that little simple truth he ran into. And he pulled out of that four little truths that we need to pray every day. Now, you'll have to go back and read it to find them. I'm not going to tell you what they were. Well, let's see. I think I just skipped one. Here it is. Number four. The Bible is practical. It's very practical and can be applied to your daily life. When you're reading the Bible, whatever book you're reading in the Bible, always look for a practical application to every scripture. Ask yourself, how does this narrative apply to me? And what can I learn from this scripture? Let me give you an example. In John, the third chapter of John, there's a narrative about a guy named Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. He wanted to check out and see if he really was the Messiah. And Jesus said something to him that was astounding. He said, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again." And Nicodemus said, "What? How can I be born again? I'm an old man. Are you suggesting I enter back into my mother's body and be born again?" And Jesus said this to him. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, Jesus said, leave it there for a second, because I want to show you something. A lot of people think Jesus is talking about being baptized in water when it says you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. He wasn't. Because the next line he says is, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He wasn't talking about that at all. He was saying you need a natural birth and you need a spiritual birth. When you were born of your mother on the earth, that was a natural birth. And any woman that's ever had a baby, or man that's been there when your wife was about to give birth, knows that the first sign that you better get to the hospital fast is the water breaks. Because babies are born of water. That's a natural birth. But there's another birth. It's a spiritual birth. And then he compares. Now listen, there's a practical application. He compares the Holy Spirit to wind. He says, it's like the wind. The wind blows anywhere it wants to. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. You can't see it, but you can feel the wind. Do you know that's the way the Holy Spirit is? He wants them to know that spiritual birth, being led by the Spirit, you can't see it. It's not like a natural birth that you can see. You can't see it. You can't tell when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in this room, but I can't see him. Can you? There are angels in this room, but they're spirit beings. I can't see them. The Holy Spirit goes wherever he wants, but I can't tell where he's coming from or where he's going. It's the way it is with the wind. You say, oh, I can tell when the tornado's coming, I can see the wind. You can't see the wind. You can see what the wind picked up. But you can't see the wind. It's invisible. And the Holy Spirit is invisible. Now, let me take it just a step further for you, okay? I was reading in a little, it must be a devotional the Holy Spirit wants me to read, because two of my friends sent it, same book, don't know each other, live in different states, sent me the same book as a devotion for my birthday. So evidently God wants me to read this book. And they even told me the page to go and read. And this is from that page, because they know I love the Holy Spirit so much. Now think about that. In the Greek, the same word for wind is also spirit. In the Hebrew, it's a different word in Hebrew, but it's the same for the spirit and for the wind. Now we're talking about practical application. Now let's make a practical application. If the wind is blowing, really blowing, and you're walking into the wind, what's it like when you're walking into the wind, when the wind is, there's a runner sitting here in on the front row. If you're running into the wind, it's not fun, is it? Why isn't it fun to run into the wind? Because the wind creates a drag. The wind puts a pressure against you. The wind makes your progress slow, and it'll tire you out to run into the wind. But turn around. Get the wind behind you, and what happens? You can run like the wind. You can run fast. The wind empowers you. The wind enables you. Now let's apply it to the Spirit. When you move against the Holy Spirit, you see, the Holy Spirit is always moving toward holiness and away from sin and wickedness. So if you start moving against the Holy Spirit rather than with Him, you're moving away from holiness and toward danger. And you're going to find it difficult. The Holy Spirit will give you no rest. I know Him. I've tried this. He gives me no rest. I find it difficult to make progress. I find a heaviness on me. I get tired easily. But if I'll turn around, if I'll repent, if I'll turn around and get in line with the Holy Spirit and let the wind of the Holy Spirit begin to move my life, all of a sudden it's easy. It's easy. No matter how hard it seems to other people, it's easy, because you got the wind at your back. You got the Holy Spirit at your back. Oh, you're here tonight and you need to turn around. You might need to turn around. Here's the next one. Number 5, never judge the Bible by other books, but judge every other book by the Bible. That's how those men that have degrees question the Bible. They judge the Bible by philosophers. They judge the Bible by other books. Don't do it, folks. The Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible. I choose to believe the Bible. And as much as possible, take the Bible literally. What do you mean as much as possible? Well, there's sometimes when prophets are prophesying and they don't know really what they see. And so what they see, it may be different than what we think it is. But actually, someone once told me, a minister, I was ministering in his church. He was a denominational minister, wasn't spirit-filled. And he said to me, "You don't really take the Bible literally, do you?" I said, "Oh, yes, I do." He said, "You don't really believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale, do you?" I said, "Oh, yes, I do. In fact, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that." I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible's true, and I believe the Bible proves itself. That's number 6. The Bible proves itself. And as much as possible, we must take it literally. Here's the next one. Keep Scripture in context. Let me tell you when you get in trouble. You can make the Bible say almost anything if you pull it out of context. But keep it in context. What does that mean? Always read the verses before and the verses after. When you see a little line and you think, "Oh boy, this is great. I'm going to do blah, blah, blah." Listen, keep it in context. Keep it in. And here's a phrase you need to learn and use a lot. Chapter and verse, please. Say that with me. Chapter and verse, please. Say it again. Chapter and verse, please. When people come to you and want to get you to believe something and you're not sure of it, just turn to them and smile and say, "Chapter and verse, please." You're going to have to prove it to me by the Word of God and more than one witness. Because the Bible says that in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter will be established. So you're going to have to give me more than one scripture to prove what you want to prove. You got to be wise as you study your Bible. And here's number 9 is this. Meditation is the key to understanding the Bible. Psalms 1. I love Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's discipline, y'all. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law, in the word, he meditates day and night. Now listen, this is the result of reading your Bible. This is the result of applying the rules that I've given you. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves will not wither, and everything she does will prosper. Meditation. Well, that's real good, but what does it mean to meditate on the Word of God? What does it mean to meditate? Well, actually, the word meditate means to murmur, mutter. So what we need to do is we need to read the Word. We need to think about the Word. Memorize the Word. Yeah, Joy had us in prayer for, I don't know how long we've done this, for at least a month. Almost every Tuesday, as a group, we quote Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I will trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I will not lean to my own understanding. I will trust in you, Lord. In fact, in the beginning, we did it for 5 minutes. I will trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I will not lean to my own understanding. I can guarantee you there's not an employee on staff here that cannot quote that verse. They've meditated. That's meditating on it. That's rolling it over and over and over. Write it on an index card. Put it before you. Keep it before your eyes. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your heart. And finally, always read the Bible as a love letter from God, written especially for you. Now you say, I really want to do that next year, but I'm not sure that I can organize it. So let me just quickly tell you this. Desire and determination are two important words. When you really want to do something, you will find a way to do it. And desire will progress to determination. So if you really have a desire in your heart to know God, to pray, and to read your Bible, that determination, that desire will eventually become determination. If you really want to do something, you will find the time and the means to accomplish what you want to do. So don't view your devotional time as a religious activity. View it as a relationship. View it as a relationship. And here's the last thing I'm going to tell you. You need to get a Bible. You say, well, I have an iPhone. I can look up the Bible. You need a Bible. If you don't have a Bible and you can't afford a Bible, come see me. I'll find you a Bible. You need a Bible that you can hold in your hand, that you can open, that you can touch. You need a good pen, a good fountain pen, a good ballpoint pen that you can write with. What for? To mark your Bible. Everybody's Bible. You can't mark your iPhone. But you can mark your Bible. You can write notes in your Bible. So you need a Bible and you need a ballpoint and you need a journal. Well, what do I need a journal for? What if God says something to you? What if he actually speaks to your heart? What if a verse jumps out and you know it's God speaking to you? What do you do with it? Write it down in your journal and date it. Why? Because when it comes to pass, and all those people around you who are skeptics say, well, that wasn't really God. You can get your journal and say, just let me show you here. On this date is when God spoke out of the word to me and said he was going to do it, and he did it today. Have you experienced that, Billy? Oh, yes, I have. Oh, I could write a book. I have written several books. But I could write a book about what God has done for me. And when you begin your devotion time, always begin your devotion time by asking the Holy Spirit to anoint you, to help you, to open your eyes, to open your heart, and to speak to you. Never give up. If you miss a little while and you seem to have broken that habit, start again. It's always a good time for a new beginning. Any time is always a good time for a new beginning. If you don't know the Lord tonight, this is a good time for a new beginning. If you've been away from the Lord tonight, this is a good time for a new beginning. Why don't you bow your heads? And if you're in the room tonight and you would say, Billy, that's me. I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior, but I want to. Or I'm away from him and I need to rededicate my life tonight. I really want to. I'd like to pray with you. If that's you, would you just slip your hand in the air? I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise the Lord. We're going to all pray with you. If you pray this prayer from your heart, then you can be born again right now, born of the Spirit right now. And if you pray this prayer from your heart and you're away from the Lord, you're going to be restored at this very moment. So let's all pray together. Everybody pray with me. Oh God, I know I need to be saved, and I can't save myself, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe Jesus is alive today, the Lord of heaven and earth. Right now, I invite you, Jesus, come into my heart. Let me be born of the Spirit. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a new beginning. Thank you, Lord, for being my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, then you have a brand new beginning. Now, I just want to pray one last prayer over you before we leave, and that's this. Father, would you please help us to love you more? Would you please help us to know you more? Would you please help us to pray more? And would you, Lord, create a great passion in our hearts to know you through the Word so that we will read the Word, we will apply the Word, we will walk in the Word. And I thank you, Father, that 2017 is going to be the best year any of us have ever lived, because you're going to live big in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.